Well, after months and months of talking about it, it's here. Notre Dame, University of Miami kickoff Sunday night game for the University of Miami, and they are jumping in some big, big territory trying to figure out a way to beat this Notre Dame team. Obviously, one of the best teams in the country, went to the national championship game a year ago. And speaking of that, I mean, if you're going to kick it off, you might as well have the coach on. Mario Cristobal is going to join us here in this early 6 o'clock hour to go through it a little bit. And there's something else going on right now. Preseason is over. So now the cuts will officially start, I'm guessing, some of them today. And then the rest of them for sure by tomorrow at 4 o'clock, because that's a cut down date where everybody in the NFL has to be at 53. And that won't be it. Practice squad, 16 players on a practice squad will happen over the next few days after that, Wednesday and Thursday. So a lot of stuff. And you see all of our writers have put together their projected 53-man roster, trying to figure that one out. And so good luck trying to figure that out around guys that are injured and which guys are going to start the year out. And how many will they wait to bring back? And then on top of that, there's some guys that will be surprises that you won't expect. And there's a lot of good stories, and we'll get into all of them. And, of course, between putting this roster together and Notre Dame, University of Miami, we got a lot of stuff going on. Our high school football, all those national games did not go so well, folks, did not go so well. The Big Four. The four top teams ranked in the top 11 in the country in some of the polls. Three of them ended up losing over the weekend. And the one that did win was American Heritage Plantation, who was down 28-0, came back, scored 31 points in the second half. So Mike Smith and the guys at American Heritage Plantation find a way to come back against St. Joseph's Prep to get the win. Not so good for everybody else. Although St. Thomas Aquinas, against the number one team in the country, made a nice comeback in the second half, but came up short in that one. And Chaminade got kicked around and kicked around and physically dominated. Not used to seeing that. Not used to seeing that at all. And then Northwestern, maybe the biggest surprise for me, they lose to a team from Southern California as well. And I think that kind of surprised everybody a little bit. Orange Lutheran in California. So the LA schools were not very nice to us coming back here. That game, by the way, was at Trask Powell. All right. So we do have a lot of stuff we're going to be getting to, matchups and everything with Mario Cristobal coming up here. We'll be talking to the coach here in about 14 or 15 minutes from now. Notre Dame, if you're not familiar with them, they've got, a lot of people believe, the best running back in the country, Jeremiah Love, who's about 6 feet, 212, can run it, can catch it, and they think is a mismatch for the, you know, University of Miami is going to have trouble trying to figure that one out. They also named C.J. Carr the starting quarterback, who throws it a lot better than the run-first quarterback they had a year ago, and they've still got that big offensive line. Look at that. They're in pretty good shape. They got a really good secondary. Is going to be an interesting one. So we'll get into all this stuff with the coach and trying to figure out their tackles they like a lot. And Bain and Mezidor, considered to be one of the strengths of this team. How will they do in that matchup on national TV? So a lot of great stuff to go on and see how they play. Because I believe they're jumping in. I don't think Florida's going to be an easy game. Don't get me wrong. Florida's got really good football team too. But I believe they're playing their toughest team on their 12-game schedule in week one with Notre Dame. Obviously, so does everybody else by where they're ranked right now. And they got a tough little schedule as well. But it should be great. Listen, Notre Dame, Miami, I wish we could do it every year. I do. So many great memories of it. I know a lot of the great memories were in Miami was the number one or number two team in the country. And whether they got screwed on a last-second play going into the end zone, whether it's a fumble, whether it should have been down, all those things that happened in Notre Dame and the ass kickings Miami put on Notre Dame here, and all the different things that happened to really, you know, the convicts versus the Catholics and all that stuff that has taken place to make for some great documentaries, to be honest. I don't know how many times I can tell you I've seen those damn things. It's been a few times. So we have all that stuff, and then we have all the good and the bad and the great stories, and what's this thing going to look like as the Dolphins will have this week off to get all their business done and figure out the 53-man roster and the practice squad, which is also very, very important. And then it's time to focus on the Colts. And Daniel Jones, who's been named the starting quarterback for week one against the Miami Dolphins on the road, of course. Dolphins will be heading up to Indianapolis for that game. But I'll tell you what, the best story, like I said the other night, the best story is the five players ready to start or take a lot of snaps in week one. I can't remember the last time we talked about potentially five draft picks either starting or going to play a lot. And that fifth guy, for me, has been a hell of a story. Now, listen, I know this has been a big topic, and we're going to have Omar Kelly on a little bit later in the show about if you're the best guy, why aren't you getting a chance to move up? And I think the one thing in the NFL, you got to be patient, and you got to make sure you see it every day, and there's things we don't see that coaches do see to give them, to be fair, like they're not running a popularity contest back there. Listen, coaches do fall in love with guys. Don't get me wrong, but they also know when they got in this business, it can be cold and it's about the best guy's got to play. I still believe that. Some of you don't believe that. I do. Because if you don't play your best players, you're going to lose your jobs. It's about winning games. And if you don't believe that, you can look at all the different schools and colleges and NFL jobs a lot of coaches have end up in their career. And a lot of them aren't by choice. A lot of them are because you've been fired from your last job. They're going to play the best guys is my point. But I think this great story is Ollie Gordon II. I've been a little slow on bringing him around. I have. But after that last game, where there wasn't a lot of good things to talk about with the number one offense, to be honest, but Ollie Gordon's running his ass off, and he did something else. He got a little banged up. He got hit going up the middle, high and low, took a shot. You could hear it. You could hear him. It hurt. And he limped off, went over to the side for about 5 seconds, turned around and said, put me friggin' back in the game. He knows this is a great opportunity, Jalen Wright. Look, man, if there's anybody, and I'm never telling a coach who to play or anything else, I don't do that. But I got to tell you, if there's a guy, and I know they love Jalen Wright, I know it. And Jalen Wright still might end up being a big story. And Devon Achane, and those guys are nicked up right now. But there's no reason you can't trust going to play with Ollie Gordon. And there's a whole bunch of different parts of this team that people want to talk about, secondary and offensive line. Ollie Gordon makes you better. He is a physical cat. And so for people, well, you know, one of the things that knocks on him is he can't block. He picked up a blitzer up the middle, released into the guy, knocked him out of the throwing lane so Tua could complete a short pass for a first down. And you go back and look at it, and it's that 225-pound rookie that blocks him off the side, so he can make the left-handed throw. He's done everything there is. It's not some surprise. Again, he had 1,700-something yards in 1 year in Oklahoma State. But if there's one guy that has earned some snaps and some carries in week one to compliment Devon Achane, if he's back, he should get him. He should get him. And if he doesn't play and you're trying to get your running game going and those third and ones and third and twos that you've been struggling with, he ought to be the guy getting them. He's a guy, even if somebody meets him at the line, has got a chance to still find a way to get you a couple yards. So I'm pretty sold on that one. And again, there's some other guys. Jason Marshall just bounced inside over the last couple weeks. and he's going to be our nickel guy. Anthony Weaver loves him. Great. Listen, man, when in doubt, go with your young guys. They're only going to get better. You coach them up. They're going to learn what you want. They're fresh. There's nothing but upside. Play them. So that's going to be the story. Two defensive tackles, a starting guard, a nickel back, and a running back out of a draft class with great potential to only get better for those guys. And then we'll see what happens with Zeke Biggers. Some people don't think think he might get released and put on the practice squad. And if you do that, that's a little dangerous because he could get picked up. So do you find room for him? You got some other really good guys. That's all for a little bit later on when we have Omar come on. We've got more stuff to get to here because we are going to jump right back to Notre Dame coming down here Sunday night to play the University of Miami on a Sunday night nationally televised football game, and it is going to be a lot of fun. So we'll get into everything with Coach coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But first, I do want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Boy, I'll tell you what, man. Great products. Fantastic. I was with Sharon from the marketing department yesterday, and we were talking about the new SUVs. And I go, man, I got to tell you, I just love my 2025 truck, my Tahoe. It's fantastic. Thank you. The new one, it's got more room. It's incredible. It just keeps getting more and more room, like the Suburbans. But I do want to talk about the midsize, the all-new Equinox, how great it's been, and the electric Equinox, again, just a great look. They've added all this space for family and friends and everybody else to be comfortable. You just can't go wrong. Over to a 2025 Traverse. Again, great look and a lot of space. We just got a SUV that's absolutely perfect for you, that you feel comfortable with driving, and the room and the look. It's just it's a compliment waiting to happen when you go to your South Florida Chevy dealers. And Silverado Trucks, man, we made a custom-made truck that's absolutely perfect for you. Whatever your lifestyle is, we got a Silverado truck for you. Hey, we got 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. Fall in love at your South Florida Chevy dealers today with outstanding offers going on right now.
Time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, thank you so much, Woody, and we're joined. It's game week. It's finally here after months and months and spring football, and everybody knew it was coming. Notre Dame, University of Miami, Sunday night, 7:30. Then I turn over to ESPN. They got all the Notre Dame, University of Miami documentaries on. I'm like, man, they are just all in on this thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mario Cristobal, head coach of University of Miami, joins us right now. Coach, good morning. I'm guessing you were up early pumping iron this morning.
Good morning, Joe. How we doing, brother?
We're doing great, man. Everybody's thoughts and the matchups and CJ Carr now, and we can finally start to talk about some of these things. So CJ Carr ends up getting the start. They're saying he's a much better passer than what they've had in the past when they just want to run the football. So thoughts on that? Is it still number one about stopping the run when you play against Notre Dame? A lot of people say they have the best running back in the country in Jeremiah Love.
Well, you always got to be able to run the ball and stop the run, right? If you can't do that, then you're going to get gutted. But as to their quarterbacks, they have talented quarterbacks, and we know one's been named a starter, and obviously a tremendous amount of talent, and he's bolstered by a massive offensive line. But they have a couple really good quarterbacks, and in game one, you prepare for everything by just sticking to making sure that your systems and your processes are in place and you're repping them like crazy.
I know you as a former offensive line coach, and the way you've recruited big guys, you understand, like everybody, how important the line of scrimmage is. And I'm guessing probably a lot of this outcome will be on the line of scrimmage, right? Offensive and defensive line, and who has good games.
Well, I think in big games like this, it always is, right? I mean, there's just, the trenches are where games are typically determined, and momentum is taken, right, or taken over in the fourth quarter. And they've got a great offensive line. They've got a great defensive line. And we feel we have a great offensive line and a great defensive line. So tremendous opportunity on Sunday night.
Hey, Mauro, the other one is a lot of and this kind of surprised me. They talk about Christian Gray and Leonard Moore as the best pair of and best secondary corners in college football, again, talking about being first-round picks and that type of stuff. Does it change your passing game a little bit just because of lack of experience with certain guys, or is it still how do you treat that when you're putting a game plan together?
Well, I mean, you have to acknowledge good players where they have them, right? I mean, this is a team that played in the national championship and was really a drive away from winning the national championship. And they returned 11 of those starters and kind of, you know, replaced some of the departed ones with starters from other places. So they have great players. I don't think you ever shy away from doing your absolute best game planning and execution with the players that you have. We have trust and confidence in our players, and we're going to go play our best football.
Coach, I know you've got some transfer portal wide receivers, but you got two guys that everybody's been raving about in Josh Moore and Malachi Toney. How have they looked throughout camp, and you see them getting playing time here and being a big part of this thing?
We do. They've had a great camp. Those guys are tremendously talented, and the best part about it, they're hard workers. Like, they get after it. So when they commit an error, they're on it to get it done right so it never happens again. Guys like JoJo Trader have stepped up and have had a great camp as well. We feel really confident about our wide receiver show.
Hey, so the other one's interesting is they always talk about the big Notre Dame tackles, and I'm thinking, hey, in Bain and Mesidor, this is going to be a fun one to watch, not to mention some of the other talent you have behind those guys. How important Bain and Mesidor from stopping the run as well as also getting after the quarterback?
Well, the entire defense, you know, making sure that you swarm to the football is important. I mean, if you watch the resiliency and the physicality of Notre Dame, they hammered people to the playoffs and through the playoffs, and they did it primarily with the guys up front. And lost also in all that is the fact that they have some big-time playmakers at wide receiver now, and they acquired a couple more, but their current receivers, you see them down the stretch, they're making a lot of plays. And, again, just a really, really talented team, so for us, an awesome opportunity.
What's the biggest change besides the transfer portal that you've seen from your secondary? What are some of the things that you really like about some of the new guys that you've added, plus the guys that have coming back?
Well, you see size and length, right? That was one of the biggest things that we added to the secondary, but also legitimate speed, right? Play speed, catch-up speed, guys that could get in and out of, you know, their breaks in a hurry. And guys that they understand the game. They have a good foundation, a good base. And in our defense, I think, with the combination of the system itself with Coach Heatherman and then Coach Etheridge and Harris and Coach Jefferson working with these guys, I think we've changed our secondary. We changed the body types. We've changed schematically and certainly our style of play. So we expect to be significantly better.
Coach, everybody's raving about Mohamed Touré, a big, strong, physical dude against the run and really helps that front seven. He's been around for a while now. How good has he been?
No, he's a special guy. I mean, he certainly has been through a lot, played at the second level, played at the line of scrimmage, was used in both spots really throughout his time at Rutgers and the scheme there. And he's a big dude. He's a 235, 240-pound guy that he just brings it, man. Tremendous intensity, great leader. Again, coupled with, guys like Wes, Popo, Chase. I mean, young guys like Kellen, Alderman, all these guys have stood up. Kamal Bonner's had a great one. Our linebacking core has certainly taken a step up as well. So we're excited to watch these guys play.
Yeah. Hey, so I got to ask you about the three-headed monster now running back with Fletcher, Lyle, and Brown, who you've added. Don't know a lot about Brown. Has he lived up to what you thought he'd be so far in practice?
He has. It starts with the fact these guys are awesome human beings. They are hard, hard-working guys that it's kind of neat. Their relationship they have is strong. They're all about pushing each other and making each other better. Jealousy has not crept in that room at all. In fact, it's been nothing but just competition and pushing, and I think it's a group that's very mature and realizes that the only way to get the best out of each other and from each other is by competing their butts off.
So I heard this one over the weekend, and I thought, this is legit. So Carson Beck missed the spring, so they're saying he's got to get on the same timing. And you got a lot of new guys and different guys coming in from different schools and coming out of high school that never really done a lot of good route running. So Carson's had to get used to everybody. Do you like his timing right now with his guys? Because they got to feel comfortable or they don't want to throw to certain guys. I think you'd agree with that. So how's that going?
Yeah, I think whenever, you know, you assess a situation like that, you're wondering, okay, if he can't go spring, when can he go? Is there enough time to get everybody on the same page? And
right,
we're confident in that timing. And he didn't participate in spring from a throwing aspect, but he was doing all the other stuff, which is also super valuable, Joe. You know, your protections, your run game, your checks. And then right after, in the month of May, he was already slinging it. So the way we do things, the way our players run their player-led workouts or OTAs, you get a ton of reps, and he's had them. So we feel very confident in what we've accomplished and the direction of our passing.
Coach, you know what surprised me the most about Carson Beck? And I didn't know. I'm like everybody else, what you hear and stuff was coming out of Georgia and stuff around college football that's picked up by people from Georgia and stuff, is coming off that injury, how strong his arm is. It's a big-time arm. Did that surprise you or anything else surprise you about Carson Beck when he was finally ready to go?
No, it didn't. I mean, we studied a lot of film, you know, before making, like we do on anybody, before making a decision. That ball comes out fast and it comes out accurate. And, you know, he's a guy that he's a big dude. And naturally, he's a hard worker. He gets after it. And we felt in this strength conditioning program, we could get him even stronger. So everything has an upward trajectory with him. And again, the best part about him is, you know, his makeup. I mean, he's made of the right stuff. His DNA is ready to roll, man. So he's been a great leader, and certainly we're excited to see him move.
I know during spring you felt like you're onto something with maybe the most balanced team you've had since you've been here, with depth and just able to get it done in every area. Now that we're a week out and now you've gone through spring and a camp with everybody, how do you feel about this group as far as not only starters but key backup players?
Yeah, we're fired up about this group. We've worked hard to put this roster together. I never, you know, put final judgment on a team until the end of the season, you know, but heading into the season, you just love the progress, fired up, enthused, ready to roll with the progress, the pieces that are in place, the systems that have been put in place, some of the changes that we've made. And again, the people have certainly put in a ton of time and effort into advancing our program. So we really do feel strongly and confident about our people.
You brought this up a little bit. You touched on it earlier, and that is you bring in guys from a transfer portal. You bring in all these new guys from high school, although most of them were here for spring football, and getting everybody to kind of match in and no jealousy and buy in and compete. And as much as everybody wants to play, and they do, but you can still go, hey, man, you're my guy. Go, that was a good play. How hard is it to get that chemistry in this new world that we live in of transfer portal?
If you pick the wrong guys, it's damn near impossible, quite honestly. But if you pick the right guys and you hammer it every day, and if they could understand the concept that there's not a single individual goal they could accomplish without the rest of the team, if they could swallow and digest that concept, then certainly great things happen. And this is a group that has they've really bought in. Like every year it gets better and better, you know, and this group again has taken another step in terms of understanding that. And our coaching staff has done a much better job of teaching that and understanding, again, this is college football. Now you sometimes are coaching a 1 year team, or at least half of it is a 1 year team. Right. So it's a lot of progress, Joe.
Hey, yeah. So the other question is, who's a backup quarterback? Have you named one? Where are you right now on that? Or is that thing still open going into the last week?
Yeah, it's Emery. Emery's going to be the backup, and Lucas is in there competing his butt off. So is Judd. But that's where we're rolling right now.
Yeah. Also, obviously, all that stuff. Hey, so as you get your meetings together and you're preaching to your guys and starting to talk about what it's going to take to win this game, can you share some of that with us? Like things, you know, I mean, this could be the toughest game on the schedule as far as talent that you're going to face on another team. What do you say to your guys a week out, Mario? What's the message right now?
Oh, there's a lot of messaging. Certainly, I mean, 99.9% of it will never come out on the air. And I don't think it should. You know, Joe, it's almost like nowadays things are too intrusive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the football experience is special. And the things that are said and done behind the scenes that will really make it happen. And it's special because it's relegated to that. But I think what we all recognize and know is that it's all about your preparation and understanding the importance of the concept of resiliency and grit, because there's no, on either one of these teams, there's no given. No one's going to tap, right? This thing's going to go. And until they shut off the lights at the stadium, these teams are going to go. So, you know, that being said, prepare with purpose every single day. You know, work your butt off in practice and spend every waking minute you always can, like you do for every game. It's not just one game. You do for every game. You study extra film. You take care of your body. You make sure that in practice, okay, that you are finding a way on every single rep to get better. And that means whether you're a starter, a backup, on the service team, scout team, whatever it may be. So, you know, prepare to the level and to the standard, and everything else takes care of itself.
You know, there's always one thing. We do these radio shows and we never talk about that is so important. You had, if not the best field goal kicker in college football last year, one of the two best for sure. I mean, that kid was just unbelievable. You got two guys out there I saw kicking. How do you feel going into this game about your field goal kicking and kicking overall?
Confidence. They are really good kickers, and they've had a great competition, and we'll figure that out here in the next day or so. And then in the punting game and our long snapper, those guys have been fantastic. I mean, they're professionals. Their approach has been incredible. I mean, you know, you couple the fact with Dylan Joyce has every, you know, every opportunity he's had to get better and improve his craft, he has, and his leg's extremely strong. Adam Booker as a long snapper is a weapon because he's explosive, he's fast. And then you look at the returners right now, you know, we're not going to exactly we'll put out there later today who's going to return what, but we feel really good about those guys also.
Mario, thank you, man, and can't wait for Sunday night. It's going to be a lot of fun to be able to talk about this game and get ready to go. So thank you very much for coming on this morning. I appreciate it.
You got it, brother. Go Canes.
All right. Mario Cristobal, Hurricanes head coach, joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about playing Notre Dame, one of the top teams in the country, played in the national championship game a year ago. He's got a lot of dudes back and also hit the transfer portal a little bit as well. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. A lot more here on a Monday morning to get to. All right. Welcome back. And good morning, everybody. Thank Mario Cristobal for coming on. It's been a few minutes for us. You know it, man. It's going to be Sunday night. And we'll be talking about the University of Miami and Notre Dame. And then, of course, great thing about this week is no NFL, week off for the NFL. They got this new thing they started as soon as they went to the extra regular season game, and that is a little more time off with a week off there, like a bye week for the NFL before they start the following week. And, of course, Miami Dolphins open up against Daniel Jones and the Colts. So I wasn't going to get a lot into the third preseason game. I just, listen, man, we're looking at cuts. You can have your favorite guys and who played well and who didn't. And hey, they didn't play a bunch of their guys. We kept some of our guys out. They kept most of their guys out of the game. I mean, you saw it. Offense didn't look great the first couple of drives. And this is going to happen when they don't have all their key guys, don't have starting right tackle, don't have a starting running back. No, there's just a lot of guys out, tight end and a wide receiver who might be your best player still on this football team in Tyreek Hill. So anyway, it was the best part of that game besides watching the draft class, although your first round pick, Kenneth Grant, did not play. He's a little nicked up. I don't think it's bad. Was how the draft picks played. And second of all, nobody really got hurt. Like, it's trying to get to a point where Mike goes to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, I think we're in good shape here for next week to get full practices in and get set to play with what you thought this thing was going to look like when we started. So, but we do have 53 man cut down. That is a fact. And they got to get to 53. I think some decisions are going to be difficult, although I'm sure they've already started talking about it. I'm sure Chris Greer, I am sure, is looking at potential trades out there where he's loaded, hoping he gets some calls on some defensive linemen and some linebackers where they seem to be really, really deep, especially now that you've added Matthew Judon on there as another outside linebacker pass rusher, and you got all those young guys. I think that's really the group we're really curious about, and who's going to make this team. I've got a pretty good idea on the cornerback position. The only thing is Ethan Bonner. I don't know how bad. I don't know if it's a tear in that hamstring. That would change things versus being pulled. And only the team and Ethan and the doctors know for sure. So I don't know about that, but there will be some guys we're going to be surprised that they end up starting the year, won't be on the 53-man roster that you'll probably see later on. Another nice thing I kind of liked about the other day, you got kind of a look at the front seven and some things that they might be able to do with Phillips and Chubb and Chop playing together in some certain situations. With that defensive line, I thought, and you got to see him minus Jordan Brooks and Kenneth Grant. Everybody else was that's probably going to play is in there, and kind of show your hand when you start and play a quarter. Your starters on both sides play a quarter that it looks like, and they wanted this to happen. They just want him to play better. Jack Jones will start on one side, Storm Duck on the other, and Jason Marshall will start inside where Anthony Weaver. Over the last couple of weeks, I don't know what happened. Somebody said, hey, Jason Marshall, he's never done it, but he can play inside. He'll be really good. He's a big physical guy. He'll be a nice addition for the way I'm going to use him. So now I'm really curious to see. And listen, Cam Smith, do they keep him? I don't know. Was healthy enough to play. I guess played well in the second half against the Lions. And I don't know how he played. It's kind of hard to tell in that fourth quarter or third quarter of that game the other night how defensive backs played. But I'm guessing he probably gets the benefit of the doubt to come back and be on the roster. I'm just guessing that's going to happen off again, potential, even though it's sad that we're still in this situation, not sure about this guy. Now, I'm not talking about team. Team could say all the right and great things about him, but I don't know. But anyway, we've got some really good stories going on, and we'll see what this thing's going to look like. They're not going to switch the quarterback situation. I would be shocked. And again, the only situation that is going to change through competition and what they've seen, and he is throwing it in their face, making that decision tough. And I know coming out of minicamp, they were in love with Jalen Wright. They were pumped. He's a big, fast guy that can run. Probably one of the four fastest guys on the team. Jalen Wright is a track guy in college. He can run. But I don't know how. I don't know how you've seen this and you go back. And I know, well, it's against twos. It's against threes. It's not starters. I see a guy at 225 pounds that you drafted that is ready to go. I mean, absolutely. Ollie Gordon looks like he is ready to go. That's what I see with this guy. Just unbelievable talent, runs hard. And Jalen Wright's hurt. Hey, man, part of this thing, too, is, and I know some coaches will tell you, don't lose your position because of injury. You know, if it's close and somebody keeps throwing it in your face and making runs and now making blocks on a blitz that is 225 pounds that's dipping his shoulder and you can hear it and moving piles, these guys, again, sit and watch hours and hours of tape every day as they're evaluating who's one and who's two and who's three and bring in the doctor. And is this guy going to be ready? And is that guy going to be ready? Somebody has got to say, and again, I'm not one of these jumps on preseason the way a guy plays. And I don't happen to think You know, Hewer should be the second quarterback. And he's been really good. Don't get me wrong. Really good. Good enough to be on the team and have a chance down the road. Yes. But this running back situation is a little bit different to me. A little bit different. Now, I don't know what team's going to do. And again, I always say this to guys that decide on the outside that this guy should play ahead of that guy. Look at these coaches. This is what they do for a living, man. They meet. And trust me, they want to play the best guys because they want to win. They want to win games and keep their jobs and keep their careers going in the right direction. And I'm not saying give up on Jalen Wright. I am not saying anything about giving up on Jalen Wright because we're probably going to need him too. We're probably going to need all three of these guys' help. We might need a fourth guy. We may need to go out and get a fourth guy if they're not crazy about the two running backs they brought in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say to you, how do you not at this point go look for a fourth guy, right?
Yeah.
Because the injury thing seems to be pretty bad here. Joey haven't played 1 week yet, so.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys nicked up, and coach says, what's that thing he says, days to weeks?
Yeah, like, day to day or week to week, I think it is, yeah.
Like, what is that exactly? Like, you're scaring me. Week to week, that could be two. Day to day, that could be two. 2 days.
Is that like probable and questionable and doubtful?
Oh, man.
Is that the new school of
that's what.
Then they get rid of probable now. Now it's just questionable.
Oh, man. We got we got all kinds of crazy
labels.
Stuff. You with me though? That Gordon should be getting some snaps. I mean, his collisions the other night.
I mean, Joe, he could be your week one starter theoretically, right?
He could, but I got a feeling. Hey, listen, if Achan's not ready to go, then I don't want to hear coaches getting up in front of the media anymore, going, "Oh no, he's going to be back for the opener."
You can't sit here with a lot of confidence and say you think he's good to go for week one.
Well,
I don't know. Like, I mean, what are they going to say? They're not going to rule him out now. Like, you don't want to do that, right?
No.
Because they're obviously very different players.
Well, you
Gordon also. Gordon and HN, they're much different to game plan for and all that. So you don't want to give up too much, right?
Well, listen, I'm going to play HN as much as I can without. And again, I'm not a big guy in HN playing too much. He's still 190 pounds. I'm not pulling a Tyreek Hill on him today saying he shouldn't do certain things. I don't. Again, but they need to play the two bigger backs for sure. And Wright's a lot bigger. And again, Gordon is a big dude. That's 225 pound guy that really runs hard. And he should get some of these carries, man. After a while, you're going, all right, what else do you need to see? You can't just go around saying, well, he's playing against backups. Hell, the other night, everybody played against backups. That's what they played was their backups.
He may end up starting against the Colts, Joe.
He could.
Very, very possible.
By the way, what a cool story it'd be, man.
It would be.
Would be, you know. And
not for the people that drafted Achane in the first round of the fantasy draft.
No, I get
those,
it.
Those people. But.
And he was a high pick, right?
He's a first rounder, but yeah, make sure you pick up, you know, Ollie Gordon as a little handcuff there. But.
So I think, you know, the whole thing with Achane, it's so funny. I get asked about Tyreek Hill and Achane. I realize it was all fantasy football here in the last couple weeks.
Not a lot of people with faith in Tyreek Hill this year, though, man.
I don't know, man. It's been.
I don't know if it's a combination of he lost a step, if they're concerned about quarterback play.
The game. So the conspiracy theories are out, as you know, with what's going on. I mean, here's a dude that's never hurt. And even when he's hurt, he plays. And all of a sudden, and just dominates camp. And now Tyreek Hill is constantly on the sideline with some minor injury.
Well, the talk of the draft this past weekend was, and these are guys that are not like Dolphins insiders or anything, but they think, you know, Tyreek Hill is going to end up on an NFC team by some point this season.
I don't think that's the game plan going in. I don't think there's one coach. I can't speak for the GM and assistant GM, the consulting GM, but I can tell you that's not.
I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think their plan is to trade him, but it's going to depend on how things go, right? The first few weeks of the season.
They want to see, and look, I'm with everybody else. I'd like to have seen a lot more work with Tua and Tyreek in one-on-one drills and getting their timing and all that stuff, but it hasn't happened. But they're counting on Tyreek Hill coming back. Look at this group. This receiving room does not scare you without Tyreek Hill. It just doesn't. I've watched it. We've had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle out. And it sure in the hell to me looks a lot different with 3, 4, 5, and 6 out there. And they've had their moments. I think Malik Washington's going to have a big year. I do. I think Tua's going to get him the ball a lot. If you're looking for a guy that's going to start getting more targets, I believe it's going to be Malik Washington. You saw it the other night again. You saw it the week before.
It's a big drop off, though, man.
But it is a big drop
off. You know, to go from your 2 to your 3 is a big drop off. You don't have that safety blanket of tight end anymore, right, with Jonnu.
So I think Malik is more possession inside and movement and stuff. And listen, you can line Tyreek Hill in that 10, 100 meters out wide. And if you want to put him in motion, you saw what he did with the motion stuff too. But I'm like everybody else. So Jacksonville guys were sitting up by us. We go, hey, there's something with Tyreek. He's been out a while. We thought he might practice again. So I don't think so, but I'm not into conspiracy theories. So I don't know what you think there. You think, and then I get second one is Tyreek and Tua okay? I would think they are. They both want to win.
The problem is they're not very forthcoming with injuries, which they don't have to be, I guess, right? But
no, nobody's going to tell you. Lots of guys out.
Like you said, the week-to-week stuff, and it's like I have seen people on Twitter weigh in on HN and say they think he's more hurt than they're leading on. He's going to be out for significant amount
well,
of time.
Well, we have earned that reputation. Now we have earned that reputation when a guy's out longer than we think, because we saw it happen last year, and it's frustrating. And to me, it's bullshit.
I know
that happens. I don't
good
like
job,
that.
You caught yourself there, nicely done. But people are asking, they go, "Is HN going to be ready for week 1?" I'm like, I don't know, 50-50.
Nah,
put it at 50-50. I don't,
You know what? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm guilty of drinking too much Kool-Aid. But listen, when he's out there, everything's at a different speed. The guy can run, man.
Well, your offense is different with him.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the other guy, Ollie Gordon's a different player. Jalen Wright's a different player. They're much different style.
We have two guys that can take it to the house against anybody in the league. Now, every other teams have fast dudes. I'd still be willing to tell you there's not too many people in the league going to catch Tyreek Hill and HN if they're even.
I'm with you on that.
So anyway, hey, we got to go to break here. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. And what a week. Notre Dame, UM. Don't call for tickets. You're too late, man. Too late. Ain't going to happen. Hey, Woody, do we know anybody for people? Because I usually, family and friends usually call me, and they're dead serious around Wednesday or Thursday for Sunday night tickets. And they're going, hey, man, somebody just can't. We just decide we wanted to go to the game. Now, here it gets better. So I go, I can check. I don't know why I always say that. I'll check. They go, well, and can you check and see where the tickets are?
Do you actually check, though, or do you just tell people you're going to check?
No, I'm not checking.
Because usually I'll tell people I'm going to check, and I just don't.
You know why I don't check or do anything?
This game is not worth even trying,
though. My track record for getting paid back on tickets, I don't know, everybody thinks.
Oh, you think you'd
have to buy
them.
Mario and I are close, that Mario's sending me, hey, Joe, I got 8 tickets for you and anybody you want to go with. I go, no.
I'm sure if you asked him, he would.
No tickets, man. Atlantic Men's Clinic, I'll tell you, that's my ticket. Whoa, man, I got to tell you. Low T and ED are gone, man. I just want everybody out there, if you're dealing with low T and ED, it's a bad thing. I was just telling some young guys in the other room. I go, hey, man, I'm just going to let you guys know. I told Woody this too. Atlantic Men's Clinic's got a message for everybody. Sooner or later, ED and low T happen to every man. Black, brown, white, red, blue, doesn't matter. Everyone will deal with it. And when you do, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do when you're always tired, in a funk, and everybody's telling you you're just getting older? And or the ED, which is a hit and miss for a while. Sex drive's there, and then it's not, and then it's not what it used to be. And then it's gone, and you go, oh, my God. And your wife starts making excuses for it. Nobody wants to go through that, but it's going to happen. Every guy out there is going to deal with ED and low T. I want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic and the great results that I got, and I know you can too. Now, as you get closer to retirement, and I'm close, I still want to be active. I want to get more out of life. I want to climb those friggin' mountains that I love in the Sierra Nevadas. I want to have fun. Get the T, the PSA test. Their professionals meet with you, and they put you on a program that is made for you and your numbers that they read. I'm telling you right now, you're in for great results. 7 locations, brand new one in Hollywood, sweet, sweet office, 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment. If you didn't write it down, most people don't write a number down early in the morning. Just visit AtlanticMensClinic.com. It works.